Welcome to Deadly Days, Tales of Dark Fantasy. I'm Joe Bandel, and your host for today's story. Before we get into the story, just a little bit. Every week I try to narrate a story that I have translated from the German. And these stories are from about 100 years ago. I believe that they really offer insight and something that's missing in today's literature. So I find a lot of value and a lot of fun, and it is a labor of love. Now I pull these stories from stories that I've translated, published. Currently, the stories are from a few sources. One of them is the author Hans Heinz Ewers. One of them is the author Karl Hans Strobel. I just added to the mix an author called Leonhard Stein. And I've also added a story from Simplicissimus, which is a famous magazine that had its first issues in 1896. But I also pull stories from Der Orchideengarten, which is the world's first illustrated fantasy magazine, and the magazine Cocaine, which I've translated for Sidereal Press, that came out with the limited edition. So right now, those are the sources. I have other sources coming up. In fact, I just finished a collected works of Leonhard Stein, which you can find on my bookstore. I have an online bookstore now that I've organized things. Just go to bandelbooks.com, band, like a rock and roll band, E-L, Bandel, books.com. And you will see everything that I have there, and where there's links to go to the type of resource that you want. So kind of check that out. Also, I'm doing some magazines. I've just started this. I'm doing issues of Simplicissimus and Jugend, as well as Der Orchideengarten. While the Simplicissimus issues and the Jugend, are the first five of each of those are going to be available for free to check them out, to see if you're really into that kind of literature. It's more of a general purpose, just fine literature. Really good. I really love them. Otherwise, I would not be doing them. But it doesn't strictly fit into the category of horror or dark fantasy. It's more generic. But that, you can find that from my bookstore. There's a link there, but also patreon.com/anarchistbanjo. Anyway, that's kind of the resources there. Consider supporting us one way. Let other people know that you like these stories, or share it, that kind of stuff. Today's story is from Der Orchideengarten, and it's going to be issue number 3. It's the last story that I'm going to be taking from issue number 3. But one of the things about this is this particular story is kind of fun, but it is also satire. And in today's world, we don't really understand satire as much as we should. So one of the reasons that I'm choosing to read this is just because, hey, this is kind of a little tongue-in-cheek kind of satire, and it's kind of fun. And this one is about a rebellion in Nirvana. you could say, rebellion in heaven. And I find it interesting because I also have a book that I'm going to translate by Karl Hans Strobel, which is called Umsturz in Jenseits, which basically is another story about a rebellion in heaven. So I'm curious as to how that goes when I get around to it. But anyway, this one's Rebellion in Nirvana by K. Rollinghoff. 14 September. It begins to simmer with a violence that was foreseen. I guessed that would happen by looking at my earlier private notes. It began through the influence of the recent arrivals and their perpetual, for many thousands and thousands of years, shame of not knowing. And finally, objectively speaking, isn't that a form of absolute oppression? The all-knowing is always hidden and does not want to make any revelations known. From all the corners and ends of Nirvana comes the burning question of the last days and the even more burning question of the second coming, both of which are always hotly debated. But what you hear are just opinions and disagreements with those opinions. Recently, I watched Tolstoy and Voltaire in a not at all peaceful exchange of opinions on these matters, which they took upon themselves to debate, even though their thoughts on those matters are not to be found in any of their works. Higher things before and after man are wrapped in silence. We do not know. We know absolutely nothing. Because of that, we desire to know everything. And as soon as possible. 18 September. It is getting lively. Some of the more popular quotes concerning the heavenly peace and Nirvana have become ridiculous. There are meetings and debates everywhere. The all-knowing still has not appeared. Everyone clamors for a clarification of our fate. And after some deliberation, I pleaded that we do not know where we are, what we are doing, or by whom we are ruled, and whether and if there will ever be a second coming. We know nothing, absolutely nothing. It cannot go on like this. We desire and need to experience the judgment of the last days. Then it will absolutely be of no concern when the second coming will happen down on earth. We desire the second coming up here. We want to know the exact date. Today, I was at a meeting of the biographers and commentators of Caesar, an ancient Roman writers' association. Caesar himself presided. In a great speech, he said that knowledge of the exact date of the second coming was essential and needed in the shortest time possible. He was working on a new edition of all his writings and on the fundamental repudiation of all the false dates that were in his biographies and commentaries. Therefore, he needed to know the exact date of the second coming prior to its printing and have it included in his work. By the way, we think of Caesar as an original thinker, but some of the things he puts into his biographies and commentaries are so strange. When debating with others, he always uses the literary device of falling into a great rage and pulling out his hair. The poorest opponents often suffer deeply in their souls. And yet, we are always happy when a new arrival, an unsuspecting biographer, is brought forward to debate with him. Point by point, Caesar refutes the assertions of those he debates, regardless of how much they have been praised by others. Napoleon I, he and Caesar are the best friends, often restrains him. "I don't understand you, my good friend. I see that you have no sense of Shavor atri kanu, knowing how to be known. If you refute everything and have clarified everything, then no one will debate with you anymore. You are much too serious. There are no anecdotes about you. Our common friend Archimedes just did me a small favor the other day, a calculation which gave the following results. If I actually spoke of all the things that are attributed to me in anecdotes, citations, tales, and history books, according to the calculations of Archimedes, I would have to speak continuously for 16,000 days. New revelations are not included in this calculation. Plus, quon parle de moi tant mieux. The more people talk about me, the better. Incidentally, Archimedes also claims that many of the statements reputed to be his have actually been made by others. For example, that the worldly should simply be allowed to fall. 24 September. This is getting serious. A council of souls is to be founded and elected. Corporation, GC, that is, Ghost Council, SC, is really too hackneyed. This council is to select a delegation to go before the All-Knowing with a request for clarification. 28 September. It is a zealous election campaign. For certain reasons, my publisher has chosen Dante Alighieri. I think it has something to do with the new tourist guides that Dante is working on. The embarrassment was very great at the time when he came here and noticed that his division into circles and such was not only inaccurate, but did not in any way exist. Now everything must be redesigned. I have no problem with this choice. Naturally, I would also choose Dante, because we need to publish his Poems of Nirvana. 12 October. Cleopatra is also a candidate. Unfortunately, I cannot help her. Yes, I would, but only if the Poems of Nirvana did not exist. But she has enough followers without me. The All-Knowing, just as before and after, is not to be seen anywhere. 16 October. The GC, Ghost Council, has been duly constituted. It consists of 250 elected officials. Unfortunately, the newspapers are not reporting on it. The special news correspondent could not understand a single word because every one of the 250 began their opening speeches at the same time. But he will gradually get used to it. 18 October. A delegation of 10 council members has been given the task of going to the All-Knowing. They should be able to bring us clarification. 20 October. The delegation has returned. The All-Knowing, at the sight of 10 messengers, went into a terrible rage. That all came about because of an unworthy newcomer within the group. He asked why the Christian socialists were not represented in the GC. The excuse was given that in the entire heavens there was not a single one to be found anywhere. They must be somewhere else. Are we all blind? Can't we see from reading the newspapers just where our innovative and industrious earth is heading? Then he came out with the main thing, the second coming. For various reasons, has been pushed back for thousands of years. We should not be in such a hurry. Earth is not ready for the second coming. Nirvana is supposed to be a rest from the terrible things that are going on down there. Schiller, who was there, was very happy over this quote. The demands of the GC made it clear to the All-Knowing that there was a need for them to send their own delegation to Earth to see for themselves. When they asked, he was in agreement. The emissaries were chosen, Schiller, Beethoven, Marx, Moses from the Old Testament, Shakespeare, Napoleon I, Mark Twain, and Robespierre. You could see the varieties of people selected. They are to leave tomorrow and return after a week. They will give us a detailed and accurate report of conditions down on Earth. Perhaps everything is not that bad. If the latter is the case, the GC will continue to press the all-knowing for the confirmation of an early date for the second coming. Mark Twain is filled with unbounded joy. Schopenhauer thinks that his laughter will be short-lived. 26 October. They're gone. Moses telepathically commissioned a first-class tombstone firm to engrave a dozen laws on a stone tablet before the departure. The all-knowing was angry, and it rained all day. 26 October, in the evening. Marx is back. He had a seizure at the sight of Earth. His last words were, "Everything is twisted." 12 October. Spartacus is outraged. He is now occupied in sending manifold copies of his message to all the editors of Earth's newspapers. He wants to make it clear that his name is not to be in any way associated with this new movement, and that his inclusion was entirely arbitrary and totally taken out of context. He would have led the slaves to freedom, while down there on Earth, the opposite is happening. 18 December. I am so depressed that I actually want to completely revise my notes. They are back. The Ghost Council has been disbanded. The All-Knowing has been asked to push the date of the Second Coming for another 10 or 20,000 years. In his outraged fury over the children of Earth, Moses smashed his stone tablet with the dozen commandments over the head of Spartacus. He is still beside himself. Shakespeare is likewise crushed and maintains, just as he did before, that there are things which our schools of philosophy have never dreamed possible. When Mark Twain tried to make his first customary joke, the horror overwhelmed him and he burst into tears. There are still tears in the corners of his eyes. Napoleon, the one with two fingers between the vest buttons of his waistcoat, wanted to make some factual remarks over the strategy of the 20th century, but fell into a sinkhole which had been created by the explosion of a 420-millimeter round and has never been seen again. Robespierre immediately found a solution. He had the best view and became the leader of the Spartacists. Schiller and Beethoven were jailed for 2 weeks because of damage to property and a dozen other civil offenses. They went to a film opera given in their honor, namely The Virgin of Orleans, a colossal drama in 22 acts, text by Friedrich Schiller, filmed by the Schiller Film Corp, and performed with the gramophone opera from the Beethoven Corps, and the performance was indescribable. Schiller abused the crowd with verbal insults. Beethoven attacked the device with his historically memorable walking stick. You need to understand, we did not find the slightest trace of longing for the second coming, not down on earth. 10 January. Schopenhauer thinks he has already said the same thing, but I do not think much of his claim because that is what philosophers always say. And that's the end of that kind of strange story. I hope you can tell the irony in it, kind of laugh along. And in its own way, it is kind of a horror story reflecting of today's world. Until next time, have a good week.